There was none of the obsequiousness that Hafiz had displayed.
"It is actually myself and my friend that are looking to trade," Sion replied.
"Then what do you need?" he asked gruffly.
"I'm looking for spells. My companions specifically for air magic, but I'm interested in anything useful." The man's face grew somewhat guarded, and then he started speaking, clearly rattling off a form response.
"By the laws of the king, magic can only be taught to and by members of licensed guilds."
The merchant stared at them both, no one speaking. Richter placed a small jewel on the counter. He looked at what Richter had dropped and then looked back up. The faintest of smiles graced the man's face.
"But laws do not put food on the table, do they? Come to the back. Ryan! Come watch the front!"
A teenage boy walked up from the back to stand behind the counter. Richter and Sion followed the man, walking through a back door into another room. He sat at a circular table and offered for them to join him.
"Are you Aldama?" Richter asked.
"No, Aldama's right behind you,"
he said, pointing behind Richter and to the left. A hand gripped Richter's shoulder just as the man pointed.
Holy sh—
He had thought only the three of them were in the room. Scrabbling to turn quickly, he knocked over a chair. A golden-skinned elf stood before him. She had silver hair, not with age, but as if someone had spun pure metal. She wore blue robes with arcane sigils in silver thread embroidered along the hem. She looked like she was Richter's age, but he realized you couldn't really tell in such a long-lived race. A wry and somewhat mischievous smile was on her face as she said,
"I'm sorry. I get so bored cooped up in here."
"Which doesn't make it right,"
the merchant said in admonishment.
"I am sorry,"
she said contritely, letting her head hang just a bit.
"Hm."
The man just grunted in reply, but he seemed mollified.
"Please, don't give it another thought,"
Richter replied with a faint smile. She really was remarkably beautiful.
"So you are Aldama?"
She gave a small laugh, her voice resounding with the purest tones. If the wood sprites were woodwinds when they spoke, she sounded like a violin.
"Aldama is my grandfather's name. He founded this shop, but he and the rest of my family left Lore several years ago. I've been running it with our old family friend Kellick,"
she said, pointing to the merchant.
"You may call me Leandra."
"It's a pleasure to meet you," Richter replied.
"Tirad sent us here when I said I wanted to learn some spells."
"You do know that it is against the king's laws to learn spells outside of a registered guild?"
Her voice had the same practiced tone of recitation that Killix had earlier.
"We've been over that, Leandra," Killix said.
She gave another small laugh and looked at Killix.
"You are the one that always told me to say it."
Looking at Richter, she said,
"My powers are focused in earth and water magic. I have some spell books that can teach you some low-level spells if you have the affinity and level to learn them."
"That shouldn't be a problem," Richter said with a smile.
"Do you have any experience with earth or water? No? Then you can only learn level one spells, but they should still help you."
She took three books from a shelf along the wall.
"You have found Book of Weak Barkskin. This spell will increase natural armor by +2. This is a spell of earth, level one. Cost 20 mana. Duration, 20 minutes. Range, self. Cast time, 1 second. Cooldown not applicable. You have found Book of Grease. This spell will make a 10x10 foot area slick with grease. It greatly increases the chance of anyone in the area falling down. This is a spell of earth, level 1. Cost 15 mana. Duration, 30 seconds. Range, 25 feet. Cast time, 2 seconds. Cooldown, 10 minutes. You have found Book of Weak Ice Dagger. This spell will throw a dagger made of ice at your target. This is a spell of water, level 1. Cast 20 mana. Duration, 1 minute. Range, 40 feet. Cooldown not applicable. All the spells seemed pretty basic and uniform. That didn't mean they weren't also wonderfully useful. He especially liked the grease spell. In Richter's experience, even high-level enemies could be affected indirectly by spells that changed the environment. He remembered a tough fight from years ago. He had to kill a dungeon boss.
It was a death knight whose spell resistance was so high that no spells could touch it. A mage he was playing with had created an icy floor, though, that made the knight fall on its back. Richter had been able to score an easy critical strike after that and win the battle.
"I'll take them all," Richter said.
He was practically salivating, thinking of increased capabilities.
"At two each, that will be 6 gold coins."
What was wrong with these people? It seemed like they were determined to bleed him dry. He had to fight the impulse to see if after he bought 2, whether he could get the 3rd for free. $600 for 3 books. Say what you want about mass-produced crap back home. It made things cheaper. He did have a thought, though. Using Analyze on Leandra, he had her stats. Name, Leandra. High Elf, level 8. Health, 160 of 160. Mana, 194 of 250. Stamina, 110 of 110. Disposition, neutral. "Each of these spells seems like it takes about 10% of your mana," Richter said, enjoying her shocked look. He was also wondering at what spell she could have recently cast, and more importantly, who she could have cast it upon. He decided to let it go. "I would think that a way for you to be able to reduce the cost of your spells would be valuable." He withdrew the blue staff from his bag of holding. He handed it to her, allowing a closer examination. Leandra took the staff, looking at him, but then switched her gaze to the item in her hand. She muttered an incantation, one hand moving in a specific gesture. A white flare that looked like when Futin identified items extended from her hand and surrounded the item. Her look of surprise switched to one of excitement and greed. She began muttering to herself.
"Legburn of a frost giant, steeped in waters of a great northern glacier, must have been enchanted by..."
She came back to herself all of a sudden, seeming to realize how transparent she was being, and tried to shift her features to studied nonchalance.
"It's a nice trinket."
A large, wolf-like smile was on Richter's face, and he settled into some serious haggling. An hour later, the two companions left the shop, and Richter had 3 new spell books and several restore health, mana, and stamina potions. He had even bartered to obtain the recipes to health, mana, cure poison, and other useful potions for Sion, who assured him that the ingredients were easily found in the forest. For all of these goods, he ultimately gave her 2 gold and 4 silver coins. He was even able to secure a 10% discount on future purchases. Leandra didn't seem to mind much, though, as she lovingly held her new staff. He could swear she was cooing to it. Before leaving the shop, he opened and read each book. The same process occurred as with the Book of Weak Charm, each crumbling to dust and leaving him with a new spell. Reading them gave him 2 new corresponding skills. There was also a pleasing 3rd prompt.
"Congratulations, you have learned the skill Earth Magic. Increasing your skill will unlock more spells. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Water Magic. Increasing your skill will unlock more spells. Congratulations, you have learned the skill Trade. Bargaining has afforded you a better price. Increasing this skill will allow for better prices and open new business opportunities."
Leandra agreed to keep an eye out for other spell books. Richter and Sion thanked her and then hurried back to the inn, knowing not much time was left. Going inside, one of the men behind the bar made eye contact with Richter and nodded his head towards the back. They made their way past the smiling patrons and entered the kitchen. Tirad met them and walked back into the alley again. Immediately cautious, Richter and Sion slowed down, but this time, the innkeeper kept walking without pause to an open sewer grate and climbed down. Having no choice, they followed him in. They stayed to the side once they reached the bottom to avoid the stream of foul-smelling water flowing down the tunnel. The sewer was made of dark stone, with an indentation in the middle to channel the flow. They could stand upright, but Richter only just. Tirad was ahead of them, moving along the right side of the tunnel, torch in hand. They hurried to follow. They took turn after turn until Richter had no idea as to their current location. He guessed that was part of the point, though.
Tirad finally stopped in front of a ladder leading up. He climbed it and opened a trap door at the top, allowing the sound of hushed voices to come through. They followed him up and found themselves in a warehouse filled with boxes. It had a dirt floor and straw was scattered on the ground. There were 12 other figures there. Everyone quieted upon seeing Tirad.
All right, gents. I am glad we are all here. The two with me I vouch for. They will stay with me. Go back to what you are doing. I will fill them in on the plan.
The men continued on with their preparations, and Tirad turned to Richter and Sion.
All right. The plan is relatively simple. We are going to strike just after midnight. The Nightblades have a base on the wharf. That's where we are now, but all the way on the other side of the harbor. We have been told this base is where they have our people. As you have already seen, many of these buildings are attached to the sewers. If we attack above, you can be sure they will bolt underneath. So we have divided into two groups. You will be with me, and we will be in the group attacking underneath. We will try to quietly disable anyone we find in the tunnels. When we hear the attack above, we wait a moment to draw his focus, and then kill anyone attempting to flee. After that, we move in and attack these bastards from behind. Do you have any questions?
Richter had nodded along while Tirad was speaking, but at the end, he had a suggestion of his own. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of close fighting for the group underground. Sion should be in the above-ground attack. He is tough in a close-up fight, but he is absolutely deadly with a little room to wield his bow. Are you okay with that? He asked his friend. Sion looked at him, somewhat concerned.
Are you sure you don't need me to watch your back?
His gaze wavered to the other men for a moment, the implication clear that the Nightblades might not be the only danger. This is going to require trust on all of our parts, and I think it's understood that there will be vengeance on anyone breaking that trust, Richter said, looking Tirad in the eye. The man didn't seem offended by the veiled threat.
I absolutely agree, he said, returning Richter's gaze. Randall, he said over his shoulder, summoning a man to him. The sprite is going to be with you. Apparently he's pretty good with a bow.
Randall looked at Sion with disbelief.
Hey, little man, you sure you can handle yourself?
An arrow was suddenly quivering in a crate only an inch from the questioning man.
I didn't even see him move,
Randall said in disbelief. He continued in a respectful voice.
We will count ourselves lucky to have you among our number, Sir Sprite. Please come with me and we will figure out the best role for you.
Sion walked off with the man, leaving Richter with Tirad. The reserved man looked at Richter.
The walk to their base by tunnel should take the better part of an hour. We will leave at 11 bells. Take the time to center and prepare yourself. We will be safe here until it's time.
He walked away to confer with the other men. Richter decided to spend his time practicing his new spells. He started with Weak Ice Dagger, mostly because it sounded coolest, if he was being honest. Focusing upon the spell, he immediately felt a chill in his hand. Strange, he thought. He let go of his focus, and the sensation disappeared. It hadn't been painful or unpleasant, just surprising. Looking at a crate against the wall, he invoked the spell. His left arm wove in a specific gesture, and a word of power tumbled from his lips. 1 second later, his arm shot out of its own accord, and a 1-foot dagger made of ice materialized from his fingertips and flew forward to strike the crate. It penetrated the wood and stuck there. He walked up to it and examined the blade. It had a simple spiral handle with no crossguard. The blade was a cone coming up from the hilt. He wrenched the blade to the side, but it did not snap in two. Apparently, the ice that comprised it was extremely dense. He was able to pull it out of the crate and saw that it ended in a wickedly sharp point. It also remained solid in his hand, and he was able to slam it back in the crate, leaving it stuck there. He hadn't counted on being able to use the dagger after it was thrown. He would never be without a weapon again. Next, he cast Weak Bark Skin. His skin grew rough, and the sensation in his fingertips decreased slightly. Drawing the dagger from the crate, he scraped the point along his skin with little effect. He pressed lightly and then somewhat harder before it was able to pierce his skin, despite its sharp point. He was clearly not impervious, but the spell was a large improvement to the unarmored parts of his body. Last, he cast Grease. The floor looked slightly shinier and dark in the torchlight, but otherwise there was no real effect. He was wondering how to test it when one of the men to his right fell with a loud curse. Another fell trying to help him. They looked around with irritation until seeing Richter's sheepish expression. The tirade that followed convinced him to sit quietly and wait for the operation to begin. Chapter 21, Day 43, Shaban 31, 15,368 ABG. Richter, Tarad, and two other men, Jason and Jeremy, made their way along the tunnels. The two men were in front checking for traps as they were nearing the Nightblade's hideout. They had already led their group past two tripwires. A shuttered lamp provided the barest illumination. The lead man, Jason, held up his hand and gestured around the corner.
"They are right around the bend," he said softly. "There are two of them. I can take one from a distance. The question is, are you any good with that?"
he asked, indicating Richter's bow.
"I can handle myself. I can't guarantee a silent kill, though. I'm assuming quiet is what we're going for." "As long as we can kill them quickly and keep them from getting back into their lair, we should be safe enough."
Richter snuck a glance around the corner. He could see two vague shapes standing about 5 feet apart. Unlike their entrance to the tunnel, it appeared that there was a door built into the side of the sewer tunnel. The closest was about 30 yards away.
"I'm pretty sure I can get a chest shot on the closest one,"
Richter said softly.
"Okay, then. I can sneak relatively safely another 10 yards down the tunnel before they should be able to detect me,"
Jason said, cocking a crossbow.
"After I go around the corner, count to 10, and then take your target out. If you hear shouts, come around the corner immediately before these motherless trogs kill me."
With a nod at Tarad, he went around the corner. Richter counted silently. Unfortunately, he had only gotten to 5 when the screaming started. Tarad and Jeremy went around the corner immediately. Richter was only a half step behind. Jeremy unshuttered the lamp to cast light on the situation. Jason was on the ground, blood freely flowing from his left foot. The thief that had been closest to the door had a small crossbow out and was aiming at the downed man. The other thief was turning to the door, clearly about to enter and sound the alarm. Richter took in all of this in an instant. In even less time, he chose his target, aimed, and fired. The closest thief was shot through the chest, and his crossbow discharged harmlessly into the sewer floor. The other one was able to make it through the door and raise the alarm, though. Though he did not notice, a message indicator appeared along the edge of Richter's vision. Jason held up his hands and shouted,
"Stop! Don't step in the puddles! They are studded with spikes!"
A tripwire was seen across the length of the tunnel. Jason must have stepped over it, but had then stepped into a pool of water on the other side and impaled himself on a concealed spike. Tarad went to him and bandaged the foot quickly, stemming some of the blood flow. He murmured to the man, who nodded with a pained look on his face. Tarad looked at Richter.
"We keep going. Our men above will be slaughtered if they attack alone. It's just that now we will bear the brunt of the attack, and they will attack from behind. Are you with me?"
Richter simply said, "I finish what I start." He cast weak haste upon himself and readied another arrow. Tarad raised his mace and pulled open the door. He slammed it shut again immediately as two thuds were heard, and the door quivered. A third thud was punctuated by a crossbow bolt piercing the door. He smiled wildly.
"Two on the left and one on the right."
And then he opened the door and dove through with Jeremy right behind him. Richter stepped up to the door and scanned for enemies. Tarad was fighting one, and Jeremy was on the left fighting the other two. There was no way for him to have a clear shot, let alone imbue his arrow. The blast could easily damage his two fighters. Worse, he could hear feet on the stairs at the back of the room, the steps quickly growing louder. Left with no other choice, he cast Grease. What happened next would have been funny if it weren't a life-or-death situation. All five combatants started windmilling their arms as they struggled to keep balance. Tirad went down first, and Richter shot his opponent in the shoulder, dropping her to the ground. Jeremy managed to collapse into a chair, his two opponents falling on the floor. Richter felt bad for a moment, ending the lives of men that could not defend themselves, but then another thief came down the stairs. The 5-minute duration of the spell hadn't ended yet, so he fell flat on his face upon entering the small room. Richter placed an arrow in the chest of both of Jeremy's opponents in quick succession. Then he imbued an arrow and shot it at the thief who had come down the stairs. The man had managed to climb up on all fours, and so took the arrow in the head. The force of the blow sheared away most of his face, splattering blood and flesh over the floor. Richter knocked another arrow while he watched Tirad drive a knife into a thief's throat. One of the other thieves lay on the ground, unmoving. Richter's chest shot, coupled with the thief's prone position, had allowed for a critical strike and instant death. The last thief had turned over a table and was hiding behind it. Breathing a deep sigh, Richter charged his knocked arrow for several seconds before firing at the table. It struck the tabletop and exploded inwards. The thief was thrown against the wall, stunned. Jeremy carefully walked forward and then stabbed him in the heart. Amazingly, all three of them had made it through the fight unscathed, not counting a few bumps and bruises, that is. Not wasting their initiative, they moved to the stairs. Tirad looked at Richter.
"Shoot up the stairs with your power arrow. Clear 'em out."
Richter peeked up the stairs, which were mercifully clear. He downed a mana potion and waited a few seconds. Then he knocked an arrow and held the charge until the black flashes ran over the gold aura, then released. The arrow struck the wall at the top of the stairs. The resultant boom in the confined space made all of their ears ring, but judging from the cry of pain at the top of the stairs, the thief that had been hiding at the top suffered far worse. Jeremy and Tirad rushed up the stairs. Richter recast weak haste, not wanting the spell to run out in the middle of the fight. More than half of his mana was gone, but his health was full and his stamina had only decreased by a tenth from his exertions and limited use of focus. He followed behind the others. At the top of the stairs, Tirad and Jeremy turned left and immediately started swinging their weapons. Richter looked to the right but saw nothing except a darkened hallway. He turned to cover his comrades and immediately felt an intense pain in his lower back. A warning indicator showed massive damage, and his health dropped by 100 points. Turning his head, he saw a man behind him. The thief had stabbed him with a dagger in his lower back. The blade had struck at the break between his chest plate and armored pants. The bastard must have been stealthed and then critted him. Muffling a scream, he threw his elbow into the thief's face and heard the crunch of a nose. He lost his bow in the process, but the blade came out of his back as he got a couple feet of space between him and his attacker. He invoked weak ice dagger, but his cast was off, and it failed to pierce the leather armor the thief was wearing. The thief lunged with his dagger, and Richter twisted to the side, the blade slicing into his pants. Luckily, their reinforced nature kept it from biting deeply into his skin. He grabbed the thief's wrist with his right hand. They strained for a moment, Richter struggling to control the thief's blade hand. His increased strength was apparently just enough to keep his opponent from gaining the upper hand. Richter drew his sword across his body with his left hand and slammed the pommel into his opponent's already ruined nose. The first strike caused a soft sound, like slamming a hammer into meat. The second pommel blow caused a deeper crunch than the first, as the delicate bones in the face crumpled under the steel ball at the end of his hilt. The man screamed in total agony. Richter used the thief's disorientation to wrest the dagger from his hand. He plunged the rogue's own dagger into the man's neck. A spurt of arterial blood sprayed across the wall in Richter's face when he withdrew the blade. The pain that he had been able to ignore for a few seconds slammed back to the forefront of his consciousness, making his vision grow dim. He invoked his minor ring of healing, which took the edge off of the pain. Reaching into his bag, he pulled out a health potion. The sounds of pain coming from the other room let him know that he didn't have any time to waste. He cast weak bark skin, castigating himself for not casting it prior to coming up the stairs. Shoving the thief's dagger through his belt, he sheathed his sword and picked up his bow. Richter placed an arrow on string and hobbled into the next room. The sight that greeted him was not a welcome one. Tirad had said the Nightblades were a gang of about 40 strong. An informant had told him that normally only 10 to 15 were in the hideout at night. The rest were out conducting various business and nefarious activities. After all, nighttime was work time for the thieves. Counting the 5 that had already died and the few that were on the ground, the dozen or so still standing meant that about half the guild must have been present during the attack. Not counting Tirad, Richter, or Sion, there were only 6 fighters left fighting the rogues tooth and nail. The only thing that seemed to be preserving his group was the thieves were fighting cautiously to keep themselves away from the door to the outside. When one crossed in front of the door, a blue streak struck her in the leg, causing an audible snap. Well, that explains that, Richter thought. The thieves were positioning the fighters as a shield against Sion. It wasn't a bad plan, as they had greater numbers and would wear down the band of inexperienced fighters soon enough. Then they could rush the sprite en masse and overcome him. That didn't even take into account the reinforcements that could arrive at any time. Richter decided it was time to ruin their day. Drawing his bow, he imbued an arrow with minimal force and shot at the closest thief. Not waiting to see results, he switched to the next, and then the next. Over the next few minutes, Richter and Sion took shots of opportunity, and their punishing fire broke the will of their opponents. The thieves began throwing their weapons down and falling to their knees. A couple tried to run out into the street, but an arrow from both Sion and Richter landed critical shots in their backs and ended their concerns for the matters of this life. Unfortunately, 2 more of their group had been killed in the time it took to subdue the thieves. The final tally was 9 of their number were killed or injured. They had won, but they paid a bloody bill. They were left with 4 fighters, plus Richter and Sion, now guarding 3 thieves. 2 of the standing fighters were wounded, with a leg or arm severely hampered. Tirad's left eye was swelling shut and blood ran freely from a cut on his cheek. The potion and the healing magic of the ring had restored the majority of his health, but Richter's constant movement had reopened the dagger wound in his back, causing a small bleeding status. He placed several healing herbs into his mouth and handed a few out to his comrades. Tirad was shouting into the face of one of the prisoners.
Where are they? I know they have not left this building yet, so where are they?
The thief stared back insolently. Tirad struck him in the face and then repeated his question. No response. Tirad kicked the man in the chest, knocking him down. When he yanked him back up and repeated the question, the man just glared and then spit on the floor. Richter's mana was almost completely depleted at this point, and continual use of focus to avoid hitting his allies had left him with only 20% of his stamina. Neither was refilling quickly. He had to invest more into wisdom, especially if he was going to start expanding his spell base. Knowing that even a relatively small force of thieves would wipe them out in their weakened state, Richter stepped forward. Tirad, let me try. Looking at the prisoner, Richter frowned. Look, I know you don't want us here. We don't want to be here. There has been blood spilled on both sides. Maybe we are all at fault, but that doesn't matter. What matters is that we work together so that we may all see the sunrise. I could continue to let fire fly between you and my friend here, but I don't have the time. Please, just show some decency and tell us where the captives are. Richter's tone was full of calm and serenity. Looking up at Richter, the thief replied, "You and everyone you love are dead. You think you accomplished something here tonight? Ha! These were our rookies, the ones that were only good for making dinner and ensuring the building didn't burn down. We will refill our ranks, and when our veterans return, I will enjoy seeing you peeled like a grape." Richter nodded during this entire response, looking thoughtful and not interrupting. At the end, he firmed his lips, nodded once more, and then drove his dagger into the thief's eye. The body started spasming, and even as he cleaned his blade on the dead man's clothes, the right leg continued to kick erratically. With a deep sigh, he moved to the next kneeling man. "Look, I know you don't want us here. We don't want to be here. There is but... The man interrupted.
We're both at fault. I agree. Please, let me help you find your friends.
Thank you. Lead the way, Richter said. Tirad stared at him with wide eyes. The man walked ahead of them to a blank wall. Running his hand along the wooden panels, he found what he was looking for. A small square of wall depressed, and the thief placed his hand inside. They heard a click, and then a section of wall opened. Dragging the door open, a room could be seen with a trap door in the floor.
Open it, Tirad commanded.
The thief looked nervous, but did as he was told. As soon as the hatch was lifted, the smell of unwashed bodies mixed with bodily waste was palpable. Faint wails of despair came out of the hole.
Get them out of there!
Tirad screamed, grabbing the man by the nape of his neck and shoving him toward a ladder.
Everyone! It's Tirad! We are getting you out of here! Come up the ladder as quickly as you can!
Stinking, weakened figures climbed up the ladder and stood to the side. Upon seeing the thief, many began to hiss and grumble. One dwarf wrapped his hand around the man's neck to throttle him. Tirad had to pull him off, saying they still needed the thief alive. About 30 prisoners made their way up the ladder, Tirad staring in each face before moving to the next. When no one else came up, he grew frantic.
Is anyone else down there? Isabel! Where is Isabel?
The older dwarf said,
They separated her and a few others from the rest of us as soon as we got here. We haven't seen her in days.
Tirad stomped towards the thief with murder in his eyes.
They sold her, the thief stammered, backing up. Some of the king's friends kept non-humans on their estate as slaves. They use them for cheap labor, sport, or pleasure.
With a cry, Tirad threw himself at the prisoner, pummeling him with his fists as he cried in rage. This time it was Richter who had to save the man's life.
We don't have time for this, Richter said.
Addressing the thief, you will die here now, unless you can help us.
There's a ledger,
the thief said. His facial bruises were making his speech slurred.
It is in the chest where we keep our loot. Please let me live.
Get on your feet,
Tirad snarled, picking the man up by the arm. Turning to Jeremy, he said,
Gather our dead, and lead our people back through the tunnels. Make sure to get Jason and the other wounded to a healer. Be vigilant, but move quickly. Go!
Turning to Richter, he asked,
Will you and your friends stay with me?
We finish what we start,
Richter replied. Sion nodded.
Where are we going?
Tirad asked the thief.
This way!
The man walked back towards the stairs and passed into the hallway where Richter had suffered his sneak attack. Reminded, he told the thief,
If you are planning on leading us into a trap, you would better be sure that it kills us all at once, or I will put an arrow through your head. After seeing how you treated those people, it would be a pleasure.
The thief whimpered but nodded. They walked down the hallway on edge. The only reassuring fact was that it was narrow enough that sneak attacks could not come from the rear. They reached a large oaken door, which the thief pushed open. Biting his lip, he pointed to the first stone after the door and said,
Don't step on it.
Skirting the trap, they followed him into the room and saw a large chest sitting in the middle.
What's the catch? Richter asked.
I will tell you, but on one condition. You have to let me go and kill the other thief you kept alive. The only way my own gang will not kill me for failure is if they think I was never here.
I want your word.
Tirad moved forward.
I'll get the answer out of you some other way, he said, raising his mace.
Stop, Richter said. We don't have time for this. I swear not to kill you, and will let you deal with the other thief. Tell us how to get the ledger.
That entire chest is a decoy. It has a powerful sleep spell bound to it which causes hours of unconsciousness in anyone who touches it. The real chest is over here.
The thief walked over to a painting and took it down from the wall. Behind it was a chest the size of a microwave.
I don't know how to open it, though, and it weighs an incredible amount.
That's not a problem, Richter said. Taking off his bag of holding, he slipped it over the chest, reducing its apparent weight of 310 kilos to 31 kilograms, well within the tolerance of his strength. Tirad stared at him.
Will your wonders never cease?
Walking back, they took care not to trigger the trap and walked up to the remaining prisoner. Richter handed a dagger to the helpful thief.
I'm not here to do your dirty work.
Do what you must. Taking the dagger, the man slit his former comrade's throat without hesitation. Seeing Richter's outstretched hand, he gave the dagger back. They walked down the stairs and back into the tunnel. Richter looked at the thief and asked, "What is your name?"
"I'm called Nil."
"Well, Nil, we made a deal. Knowledge for service. Your knowledge of the chest for my service of sparing your life. But you still owe me for saving you from him," indicating Tirad. "He would kill you despite what I agree to. Now say you owe me for saving your life."
"I owe you, kind sir."
"Say it again."
"I owe you my life, sir."
"Now say it one more time," Richter said, enunciating each and every word. The thief clearly knew what this meant, but could say little in rebuttal. After seeing the murder and rage in Tirad's eyes, there was no denying that he owed his survival to Richter. He bowed his head and spread his arms wide.
"I owe you, my lord."
Richter looked the man in the eye and said, "Thrice heard and witnessed." A prompt reinforced his words. "Nil has agreed to do you a favor. Failure to do so when asked will cause a decrease in his reputation with all beings and other unknown consequences. Keep in mind, your word means everything." "Now run," Richter said. "I will collect on what you owe me one day." Nil ran off, giving credence to the old saying of vanishing like a thief in the night. Richter, reminded of the state of the refugees they had rescued, could not leave it like this. Casting Grease One once more on the room they had just left, he threw Tirad's torch into the mix and was rewarded by a whoosh of flame as the furniture and walls caught fire. Richter, Sion, Tirad, and the man who had been guarding the final thief then turned their backs on both the light of the fire and the darkness of their deeds, walking on into the gloom of the tunnel. Chapter 22, Day 44, Shaban 32, 15,368 ABG. They walked back to the inn without incident, the sky beginning to lighten. While on the way, Richter dealt with the prompts that had littered the edge of his vision. "Congratulations, you have reached skill level 5 in archery, plus 2% bonus to aim, plus 2% bonus to damage. Congratulations, you have reached skill level 4 in imbue arrow, plus 5% damage, plus 5% speed of mana flow. Congratulations, you have advanced to skill level 4 in herb lore. Herbs are 3% more effective. Increased chance of finding higher level herbs. Congratulations, you have advanced to skill level 2 in focus. Zoom increased by 0.1 times. You have proven yourself to be honorable. You chose to save the life of a comrade rather than eliminate a threat. In a key moment, you chose to honor life rather than pursue death. Be true to yourself to find your specific power. Plus 2 charisma, 3% decrease in critical strike chance and critical strike damage." That last seemed a bit of a double-edged sword, but he was satisfied with the bargain. Richter would never know for sure how important his charisma was, but since coming to the kingdom, interacting with others had been of the utmost importance. From meeting Calder, to Rosie's referral, to Tirad, to Leandra selling him the spells that had quite possibly been the deciding factor in the battle with the thieves, his ability to interact with those he had met clearly altered his life here. If he was going to succeed in this new world, he could not do it alone, and he would continue to need help. He would take all of the charisma he could get. The next prompt was what really caught his attention. "Congratulations, you have won plus 500 fame points. You have freed those falsely imprisoned. They will spread word of your bravery. Congratulations, you have advanced to reputation level 2. I think I've heard of you. New quests and opportunities will become available to you. You have completed the quest Fight for Those Who Cannot Won. The non-humans of Eve will now look upon you favorably. Many may decide to come to the Mist Village. Bonus reward, the contents of the thieves chest. Reward, 3,500 XP. You have reached level 9. Through hard work, you have moved forward along your path. As a Chaos Seed, you gain 6 points to distribute to characteristics instead of the usual 4. You also get 25% advancement to the skill of your choice. Crush your enemies. Honor your allies. Live! Richter was once again faced with the pleasant dilemma of how to allocate his points. The real difficulty with his abilities was that they were almost all mana-dependent. His most powerful skill was still Imbue Arrow, and that was a serious drain on his magic points. Many game players like to specialize in one area. That had never been Richter's style. He liked to have the ability to grow in many directions. His value as a player always came from finding unorthodox solutions to problems through combinations of his skills and abilities. He liked to think that where others saw problems, he thought of solutions. He saw no reason to change his style now, so he put all of his points into the only characteristic he had not directly invested in yet. Wisdom. Name, Richter, age 24, level 9, 37%, health, 256, mana, 221, stamina, 160, strength, 15, base 11, plus items, 4, agility, 17, dexterity, 30, base 19, plus items, 11, constitution, 16, endurance, 16, intelligence, 19, wisdom, 18, charisma, 20, luck, 14, abilities, limitless, gift of tongues, fast learner. Skills, herb lore, level 4, 11% to next level. Alchemy, level 1, 0% to next level. Analyze, level 4, 82% to next level. Stealth, level 4, 51% to next level. Archery, level 5, 17% to next level. Imbue arrow, level 4, 15% to next level. Focus, level 2, 6% to next level. Swordsmanship, level 1, 88% to next level. Small blades, level 1, 11% to next level. Unarmed combat, level 1, 10% to next level. Pressure points, level 1, 15% to next level. Light armor, level 3, 12% to next level. Air magic, level 3, 38% to next level. Life magic, level 1, 49% to next level. Earth magic, level 1, 46% to next level. Water magic, level 1, 19% to next level. Trade, level 1, 11% to next level. Marks, Master of the Mist Village. Resistances, Air 50%, Mental 5%, Spiritual 5%, Race, Human, Chaos Seed. Reputation, level 2, I think I know that guy. Alignment, Neutral. Languages, Common, Sprite. Richter finished with his internal management and just enjoyed watching the increased regeneration of his mana bar at the corner of his vision for a few seconds. By the time they had arrived at the ladder that led to the alley behind the inn, a fair amount of his mana had recovered. He still felt some aches from his bruises, and walking shot pain into his lower back where he had been stabbed, but it was manageable. These were minor annoyances now, rather than debilitating injuries. The healing abilities in this world were amazing. Even his healing herbs were truly magical. St. John's Wort, eat your heart out.
We need to go back to Aldima's Focus, Tirad said once they were back in the inn. I'm not sure what protections are on that chest, but I would be surprised if there were not both magical and non-magical traps. Killick and Leandro should be able to help. Will you come with me? You convinced the thief to give us the chest. I'll happily relinquish the contents of the chest, but please, let me see the ledger.
At Richter's nod, Tirad spent a few moments checking in with all the former captives. He had apparently not rented out any rooms since the first trouble with the Nightblades several days prior. He had foreseen that the non-humans would need a place to stay away from prying eyes until he could get them back out of the city. Richter asked if the gang knew Tirad was involved with getting the non-humans out of the kingdom. If so, they would obviously come to the inn looking for retribution. Tirad said the arrangements were made through intermediaries, and his name should not have come up. He still seemed somewhat uncertain, though. Tirad passed on the care of the non-humans to his staff, who assured him that everyone would be fed, given a bath, and a place to stay. The wounded were already being cared for, and the dead laid by the fire with what were clearly loved ones sobbing over the bodies. 3 fighters had given up their lives in the fight. Tirad, Sion, Richter, and Jeremy walked out into the night.
There wasn't much noise other than their footfalls. Tirad looked at Richter.
Not everyone would have the stomach to kill a man on his knees like that.
Richter answered without looking back. Where I am from, horrible things happen every single day. No one helps. We even have the ability to know about atrocities on the other side of the planet, but nothing changes. I personally was too weak or too scared to do anything about it. I don't like slavers, and that is what you are if you hold an innocent against their will and intend to profit by it. That is what this kingdom seems to be approaching. When the Nightblades tried to sell people, they crossed the line. Now that means they were on one side and I was on the other. I don't regret killing that man. I'm happy the world has a bit less evil in it.
You let the final thief go, Tirad observed. That Nil, who killed his own man.
Everyone makes mistakes. Nils was being part of a group that had partaken in the slave trade. I do not enjoy killing, but as I said, I will not apologize for making the world a better place. Now all three of those men who surrendered were given the chance to make amends. The first was asked twice by you. Then, in the most reasonable terms I could manage, I asked him a third time. Now even where I come from, neither God nor man can ask for more than that. So when a man has been given every chance to make amends for a heinous crime, and yet still decides to stand defiant on the wrong side of the line, Richter finally turned to look at Tirad. I will snatch the soul out of his body and smile right after. Tirad looked back at him.
I think we understand one another.
They arrived at the magic shop, and Tirad led them around to the back door. He knocked once, and then waited. The familiar face of Killick filled the window, and then they heard a bolt being drawn back before he opened the door. They filed into the room with the table Richter had seen before. Tirad wasted no time.
We took a chest from the Nightblades. We need it opened. Why did you bring us this trouble in the middle of the night?
Killick said heatedly.
You know how hard I work to keep Leandra away from this.
Tirad took the abuse silently, and then said,
It is the only way to find Isabel.
Of course we will help,
Leandra said, coming down the stairs set in the back of the room.
Killick, get your tools. Where is the chest?
The man looked like he might argue, but then changed his mind and did as he was bidden. I have it, Richter said. Where would you like me to put it?
One moment,
she said. She placed both hands over the table, weaving her fingers together. She softly spoke words of power. There was a blue glow, and a circle inscribed with runes appeared on the table.
Set it here.
Richter retrieved the chest and placed it on the table. Killick returned with a leather-bound item. Unrolling it next to the chest, various metal implements could be seen, each in its own specific place. He looked at the four of them.
You stand back and let us work.
Killick and Leandra huddled around the chest, murmuring to each other. They circled it several times, planning their avenue of attack. A lot more than several times, actually. The next thing Richter knew, he was being shaken awake from the chair where he had sat while waiting. Sunlight streamed through the window, and the sounds of foot traffic could be heard through a partially open window. He also heard a dog barking and smelled tea being brewed somewhere in the shop. These were all innocuous events that occurred, and were in turn ignored, each and every morning. This morning, however, they were remarkable to Richter, in that their very banality stood in stark contrast to the blood spilled and lives lost the night before. His attention was quickly pulled to what was in front of him. The chest lay on the table with the lid ajar. Leandra and Killick sat nearby, looking drained.
That thing was a nightmare.
You're lucky you brought it to us, Killick said.
That bad?
Richter asked, rubbing his eyes.
Not bad if you would have enjoyed your blood boiling and parts of your body sloughing off, namely your...
Leandra!
Killick interrupted sharply, looking back at Richter.
Point is, the chest is open now. We will let you handle your business. I only did this for Isabel. Come, Leandra. We are going to leave them to it.
The young mage complained, but Killick was hearing none of it. He herded her out to the front of the store and out of sight.
Who is Isabel?
Richter asked. Tirad paused on his way to open the chest.
A wonderful woman. A wood elf. She is precious to me.
His voice catching at the end. Richter now understood Tirad's passion to free the non-humans. Tirad opened the lid and set it back on the table. The chest was less than half full. Several vials were on top that he placed to the side. Underneath was a thin book bound in brown leather. Tirad took the book and began to go through it page by page, the other contents of the chest already forgotten. Sion moved to the vials, examining them, leaving Richter to examine the rest of the contents of the chest. The first thing he saw was a gilded dagger in a sheath that looked like a faceted crystal.
You have found glass dagger. Damage, 14 to 17. Durability, 250 of 250. Item class, uncommon. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.2 kilograms.
The dagger was almost ridiculously light, but the edge seemed wickedly sharp. The blade was made of the same clear material that the sheath was made of. When he turned the dagger, he could see through it with no issue, though it refracted light extremely well and made a rainbow of intense hues on the far wall. Turned on the other axis, the thin blade seemed to almost disappear. Setting it to the side, he looked at the rest of the chest. There was a jumble of copper, silver, and gold coins with some random jewels. He had a thought and just poured the contents into his bag. Gotta love that auto sort. It looked like there had been roughly 200 copper coins, 30 silver, and 10 gold coins. 7 stones of varying types made their way into his inventory as well. There were also 2 rings that glowed slightly. They just appeared as magic rings. He would have to see if Leandra could identify them. At the bottom of the chest was a necklace and a book. The familiar and frustrating prompt, magic necklace and magic book, greeted him when attempting to examine them. He had to find a way to identify items himself. Sion held up the bottles one by one.
Frost resistance, fire resistance, healing, mana replacement.
He paused before lifting the last. Richter examined it. Magic potion appeared on the prompt. Nodding understandingly at Sion, he reached out his hand and placed it in his bag. The first 4 could prove useful in the coming days. Tirad was still poring over the ledger, and so Richter walked up front. Leandra was standing behind the counter, and that gorgeous smile was on her face when she saw him. Smiling back, still a bit awestruck by the beautiful creature in front of him, he asked, "There are a few items I can identify. Can you help?"
"I have an identify spell, and also have a reasonable amount of lore. I can look if you like."
Richter looked slightly confused.
"What is lore?"
"Oh, well, there are 2 main ways to identify something. Magic is the most common way, either with ability, spell, scroll, or item. Identification items are rare, though. The other way is to have studied enough about magic that you can recognize some or all of an item's properties. I have level 3 in my lore skill, which should work for most basic items. Now let me see what you have,"
she said with a small laugh. Richter handed her the rings, necklace, book, and vial. She looked over the necklace, running her hands along it, closing and opening her eyes slowly, seemingly lost in thought. After a minute, she smiled and reached out her hand. He took it, and she placed it over hers with the necklace between them.
You have found Necklace of Scry Defense. Will block all but the most powerful scrying spells. You will not be able to be seen by divination, identification, tracking, or detection spells. Passive ability. Durability, 200 of 200. Item class, rare. Quality, exquisite. Weight, 0.4 kilograms.
This might be the most impressive item he had found besides the magic core. Right now, he was a small fish as far as this world was concerned, but if he kept making waves, like, say, attacking an established underworld guild, it was probably a good idea to protect himself from those who might look for retribution. Leandra removed her hand, a little slower than she needed to in Richter's happy opinion. She repeated the process with both rings, one at a time.
You have found Ring of Hidden Dangers. Plus 16% to trap detection. Passive ability. Durability 15 of 15. Item class, uncommon. Quality, superb. Weight, 0.1 kilograms. You have found Dungeon Ring. Will open most basic locks and some magical locks. Can be used twice per day. Durability 20 of 20. Item class, uncommon. Quality, above average. Weight, 0.1 kilograms.
Both could come in handy. It was too bad Jason hadn't been wearing the first ring when they attacked the thieves. Leandra picked up the book and went through the same motions as before. Frowning, she set it back down and focused. A familiar white light came from her hands. After a minute, though, she shook her head.
I'm sorry, Richter. My lore level isn't high enough for this, and it's resisting my identify spell. On the plus side, though, it probably means it's very valuable.
She handed the book back to him. Picking up the small vial, she immediately gave a small gasp.
I know what this is. It's a potion of clarity. I've seen one before, and it is the same clear water with little motes of light inside. This is valuable, Richter.
Somewhat taken aback, he asked, How valuable?
It depends on how much the experience bonus is and how long it will last for. The potion I saw increased experience by 15% for 12 hours, and it was selling for 1 gold.
So how much do you think a potion that increased experience by 25% for a day would sell for?
Oh, at least 3 gold? That would be almost impossible to find, though. I don't know all the ingredients to make the potion, but I know they are all difficult to obtain and expensive. Why do you ask?
A slow and small smile grew on Richter's face. Changing the subject, he asked, Can you teach me your lore skill?
No, but I do have copies of a few of the books I used to obtain it. I can sell them to you if you like.
Richter said yes and thanked her. She left to go get them out of her room, and he spent the time she was gone perusing her shop. He had noticed a mortar and pestle when leaving last time. Moving around, he saw that they had extensive amounts of magical ingredients, alchemy sets, mortars and pestles, measuring spoons, and any number of other implements required to pursue the magical arts. Behind a glass cabinet were various types of potions. There was also a small library dealing with herbology, alchemy, and a list of other subjects. Each item was clearly marked, and it was somewhat surprising that there were different grades of alchemical equipment ranging from average to superb. Richter assumed that the equipment ranged from trash to masterwork, just like his other equipment. From what he had seen of the determined man, though, Killick would not allow trash or poor-quality inventory into his shop, and he probably simply didn't have access to exquisite or masterwork items. That might be all for the best, for while a low-quality novice-level alchemy set cost a few silvers, the superb-quality novice set was 10 gold. Initiate and apprentice-ranked alchemy sets were insanely expensive. He picked a few healing herbs and resolved to discuss the price of the other items with Leandra or Killick. As bright and sunny as the girl was, she had been no less difficult a negotiator than Killick during their first bargaining experience. He was convinced that her personal desire for the staff was a large reason as to why he had gotten such a good deal on his spells. Leandra came back to the front room carrying 2 thick books. They said, History of Magic 1 and 2, respectively.
I'm warning you now. They can be pretty boring at times, but they got me to lore level 2. Unfortunately, I do not have the 3rd book, but there are others that can increase your lore as well.
I'd like all of the books you have out here as well. I need an alchemy set and a way to transport it. Some healing, mana, and stamina potions. Sion will pick all of the ingredients he needs for potion making and any herbs he needs. Oh, and all of your empty vials. I think I'll have a lot of things to sell soon, he said, grinning again. After talking to Leandra, Richter decided to get the superb quality set of apprentice alchemy equipment. Higher-ranked alchemy sets were apparently needed to make higher-level potions, and better-quality sets created potions of increased potency. He had always believed in paying a bit more on the front end, rather than being nickeled and dimed to death later on. It also wouldn't be a small thing to get back to the city if he needed an upgrade. Once he was back in the Mist Village, he was pretty much stuck with whatever he brought back until he could spare another few weeks and make it back into the kingdom. Luckily, she had hundreds of empty vials that he was able to bargain down to 1 vial per copper piece in light of the large amount he was buying. The books were almost ridiculously expensive to Richter's mind. They ranged from 3 silvers to 2 gold pieces each. He supposed it made sense, though. On Earth, before the printing press, only priests or nobles had access to books or even had the ability to read. He was insanely thankful that his gift of tongues extended to the written word. Knowledge was power in any world, it seemed,
and so he paid with minimal grumbling. When the ingredients Sion chose were added to the mix, along with a few modest healing and mana potions, he ended up agreeing to pay about 15 gold